Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to Psalm number 17. And I've kind of entitled this message today, The Confident Prayer of a Righteous Man. Confident Prayer of a Righteous Man. And I know I got to do really well this morning because Dr. Martinez is with us this morning. And I sure don't want to disappoint him. Psalm number 17. And I'm going to read just the first seven verses, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll share some thoughts with you. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thy ear unto me and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which that put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Father, thank you for this portion of scripture. And I pray that you would give me the right words to say and that the Spirit of God would lead me, that you would speak to every heart, encourage those that need to be encouraged. Convict us that need to be convicted, challenge us that need to be challenged. But Lord, in all things, may you get the praise and glory, for I ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I've divided it basically into three sections. Verses 1 through 6 is his testimony, and then in verse 7 we see his trust, and I didn't read it, in verse 15 we see his triumph. You know, as I was looking at this, all through the Bible, I know they have a word for it, but I'm not smart enough to know what it is. But it talks about God having eyes, God having ears, God having hands, God having feet. And yet we know that it uses that type of language so that we can understand it. And I was thinking about that. Does God have eyes? Does God have ears? Does he have hands? And does he have feet? And we know the scripture says in John chapter 4 that God the Father is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So as I was beginning to think about that, does God have all of these attributes that we have? I believe it's 1 Timothy 3:16 that says, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh, he was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached to the Gentiles, believed upon in the world, and received up into glory. And that's the life of Jesus Christ. So I would ask you this question then. It's as great as the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. And of course, that verse is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, then let me ask you this. Then is Jesus God? Amen. Does Jesus have eyes? Amen. Does he have ears? Does he have hands? Does he have feet? All of that. And of course, you know, I remember Billy Graham once talking about walking with his grandson, and they came upon an anthill. And the ant said, look at all those little helpless ants. And Billy Graham gave that illustration, says, that's what we're like. But that God came down in the person of Christ, that he could dwell among us and could help these little ants, these little helpless creatures that we are. So God indeed sees. You know, it tells us the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding that which is good and that which is evil. Can a bird or a sparrow fall from a tree and God not know it? I don't know how God does it, but God is omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere all the time. I don't know how he does that, but does he hear our prayers? We see this confident prayer of David that he's praying for God to hear him. And look at verse 6. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline their ear unto me and hear my speech. Yes, God answers prayer. Amen? Boy, that was awful weak. Does God answer prayer? Praise God, God answers prayer. And we see God answering prayer every single day. Souls are being saved, bodies are being healed, lives are being changed. Miracles are taking place every time someone's born again. That's a miracle of God. It's supernatural. It's something that only God can do. We can't cause ourselves to be born again. That's something God does when we respond to him in faith, when we believe the word of God and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God works a miracle. I know a black preacher, I don't remember his name, but he went upon the miracles of God and talking about all the things that God did, and you could read through the Bible and opening the eyes of the blind and raising the dead. But in the conclusion to his message, he said the greatest miracle that God ever did, speaking of himself, is when God saved an 8-year-old boy. Isn't that a miracle of God? And it's a mystery to us. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God would love us so much that his son would leave heaven and come to this sinful world for one purpose, to die on the cross to save you and me. No wonder it says great is the mystery. It is a mystery. You know, Paul talked about the mystery in the book of Ephesians, that the Gentiles, they were without God in the world. They had no hope. That's us. But yet God not only brought salvation to the Jews, he brought salvation to the Gentiles. It says Jesus is propitiation in 1 John for the sins of the whole world. He died for all people to bring life to all of us. So what a wonderful prayer is he prayers. Hear the right, O Lord. Hear the right. Well, I know we're on the right, right? Conservatively. Hear the right. But what makes us right, or what makes us righteous? When he says hear the right, what he's saying is hear the righteous. What makes us righteous? Is it not the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not our works. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. And he's redeemed us. He's given us of his spirit. So hear the prayer of the righteous. Does God hear the prayer of the lost? Well, the psalmist says, he that God regards iniquity in his heart, God does not hear them. Does that mean God can't hear them? Yes, of course God can hear them. It means God doesn't respond to their prayer. Because you see, because we have a relationship with God, we have a basis for prayer. We're righteous because of the righteousness of Christ. So we could say we're on standing ground, or we're on the right ground, we're on praying ground. Guys, was it 2 Chronicles 16:9, I believe, Asa's praying. And it says that God's eyes search to and fro through all the earth, that he might show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. And you know, there's a very positive verse, but it was in a very negative setting because Asa hadn't trusted in God. And he told Asa, remember when that great army from Ethiopia came against you and you prayed? And now in this next thing that happened, he didn't trust God. And he wanted to remind him that the eyes of the Lord, they're looking to and fro through all the earth. God wants to show himself mighty and strong on our behalf because our hearts are right towards him. Isn't it great to know that God is looking out over us and that he's looking and he wants to show himself mighty? Call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And I like that because when Jeremiah wrote that, he was in prison. Isn't it interesting the things that have Paul and Silas are in prison and they're praising God and worshiping God? In the worst of circumstances, God is there. In the best of circumstances, God is there. No matter what we're going through, God is there. That's why this is a confident prayer of a righteous man, that he knows God is going to hear his prayer and that God is going to answer his prayer. You know, as we look at his testimony, and let me read this verse, Psalm 34:17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. And then again, 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Numbers 6:25, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Psalm 67:1, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. And in Proverbs 15:3, as I said, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Psalm 139, I know Pastor just mentioned this the other day, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, as we look at his testimony, verse 2, let thy sentence come forth from thy presence. He's praying. And that word sentence, I mean, is the idea of let the answer to my prayers come from your presence. Let your eyes behold the things that are equal. We think of balances, don't we? Things that are equal. You remember we have the picture of the blind lady, justice, and we have the scales. And God weighs the scales, doesn't he? Now, you know, thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, because without Christ, if you would look at the scale, and if this was our sin, it would be way down here, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be so heavy and laden with sin, and our righteousness, well, it would be not. It would be nothing. But he says, look at that which is equal. God, you have balanced the scales. Wasn't it Abraham said, shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? He's the judge. He's going to weigh things. He's going to determine whether we go to heaven or go to hell. And it's all based on the Lord Jesus Christ, the most important man, person ever in the history of the world. So God, you look at what is right. You know what is right. And then as he's saying that, this here is such a powerful verse in verse 3. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Thou hast proved me. That idea of being proved, I think it's the idea of being put to the test. Proverbs 20:27. Well, that's not the verse I want. I want to go to Job 23:10. The Lord knows my way, he says. And when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. Does God test our faith? Yeah. Absolutely. God tests us. God tries us. God allows us to go into things. You know, he said concerning Israel that he had proved them. He was proving them, trying them. Would they obey him or not? When he brought them through all that, we know that ultimately they disobeyed. But God is testing our faith. God said to Peter, or Jesus is God, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, you know that I love you. Peter, do you love me? That I love you. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments in John 14:15. God is putting us to the test. Do you love me? You know, we would say with Peter and with the disciples, Lord, I'm ready to die for you. And of course, we found out that he denied the Lord. But, you know, I don't think that's the question. I don't think that's the right question. Am I ready to die for the Lord? I think we would say, yes, here's the question. But are you ready to live for the Lord? As you put your faith to the test, when we see illnesses that we don't understand, when we see people die that we love, and we're so grateful when we know that they're saved, we see all kinds of things happening, and the Lord's testing us. Do you love me? Do you trust me? Do you believe my word is true? I know I'm challenged as God puts me to the test. You have visited me in the night. That word visit is used in a variety of ways in the Old Testament. But it carries the idea of investigating. You have visited me in the night. You know, I find so often that God visits me in the night. To be visited by God is to experience his presence. And we experience his presence, his searching. When we say, oh God, search my heart, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. And I lay there and I'm challenged of God sometimes. Do you love me? Do you really believe the Bible? Do you really believe I'm coming again? Do you really believe you're going to live forever and ever and ever? And so often I have to say, Lord, I believe it, but I don't understand it. I can't get it. I can't comprehend it. I can't wrap my mind around it, but I believe it. Do you really believe that you're holy and righteous? My flesh says, no, you're a wicked sinner. But God says, you're in my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased. And God encourages me as he investigates me. And as I will share words of scripture that I have memorized. 1 Corinthians 15:58 is kind of my life verse, my beloved brethren. Be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know our labor in the Lord is not in vain. So often that comes to me. John, maybe you had a bad day, but be steadfast. Don't be moved away from the truth. Keep walking with me. Keep trusting me. I'm like the disciples in John chapter 6 when so many went away from him and they said, Lord, where will we go? If I turn away from you, Lord, where am I going to go? You and you alone have the words of truth. There's nowhere else to go but to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the devil would tempt us, trying to see, think of what it says in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Now it's just not coming to me. The Spirit speaks expressly in the last days. Many will depart from the faith because they'll be led by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their hearts seared with a hot iron. And the devil wants to deceive us, doesn't he? He wants to draw us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm so thank God that, I don't know, that's some of my best times of prayer. I know I have my morning prayer and we pray throughout the day, but when I'm laying there at night and God visits with me and God investigates me and God searches my heart so that I could talk with him. And I know we say, Lord, you know my heart. And as Pastor Eric preached, yeah, I know your heart. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That is our heart. But when we say that, God, you know what I'm thinking. You know how I feel. And he does. So we ask him to search our hearts, to try us, see if there be any wicked way in me. He talks about the Lord leading him, his feet not slipping. You know, the steps of a good man, a godly man, are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And even if he falls down, he will not be utterly cast out, because God by his right hand will raise him up. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. Yeah. And so that's what we want to do. We want God to direct our paths. We want God to lead us. My time is getting away so quick here. He makes an amazing statement. You visit me in the night. You have tried me. You have found nothing. You have found nothing. You have found nothing. Wow. You know who else said that in a similar fashion? It was the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3. He said, circumcised on the eighth day, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, the righteousness of the law, a Pharisee. He's concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. But concerning the righteousness of the law, I am blameless. What a statement. All that I have gained, he says, I count but loss, except for the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, all my good works, all that I thought I did, are dung in the sight of God. Oh, that I would know him, that I would win him, and know the power of his resurrection. Real quick, his trust is in verse 7. He moves from this idea of his own righteousness, and I don't have time, about his purpose in his heart, and had determined, predetermined, he was going to follow the Lord, he was going to believe the Lord, going to be delivered from wicked men because he was going to follow the word of God. And that's the only way we could be successful, is by following the word of God. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, in verse 7. O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. And then he goes on to talk about how he's delivered from his enemies. But God, you have showed your loving kindness. Another verse in Psalm says, God's loving kindness is better than life, better than the life that we live, to know the loving kindness of God. That's where his trust was. He had this testimony that he was living a good life, a godly life. But his trust was in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to live a good life. We ought to live a godly life. We ought to be able to say, yeah, concerning the law, blameless. Why? I have the righteousness of Christ. Isn't that what Paul went on to say in Philippians 3? That I might be found not having the righteousness which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness that I want to have. And it's because of his loving kindness, because God reached way down into this garbage can of life for you and for me. And I know we think, oh, I'm not that bad. Yes, you are. I'm that bad and you're that bad. We're wicked. We are wicked and we're evil without the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing in us. There's no good in man at all. Nothing that we could say, oh, Lord, look at me. I'm good. Even here he realizes, even though, God, you're not going to find anything, we could say the same thing. God, when you search our hearts, what you're going to find is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because if it was not for that, Lord, I'd be undone, wouldn't I? We'd be undone and on our way to a devil's hell. The loving kindness of God has reached way down. And I just got to move quickly to the last point, his triumph, in verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy faith in righteousness, thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. There's the old song that says, I'm satisfied with Jesus, but the question comes to mind, is Jesus satisfied with me? It says, when I awake in their righteousness, look at the last part of chapter 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Another song says it'll be worth it all. When I see Jesus, one look at his dear face, all sorrow will erase. One of these days, it's going to be worth it all. The life that we live for Christ will be worth it. Yes, sometimes we have to deny ourselves. Sometimes we have to go, as it just brought out the other day, my brother Johnny, we have to go through the flood. We have to go through the fire. We have to go through troubles. But no matter what we go through, he's there. And he's with us. One day, Lord, and the Bible tells us this. 1 John chapter 3, we don't know what we'll be like. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Yes, amen. I'm going to have a head full of silver hair. He's counted all of my hairs. He knows how many there are. And I'm going to look like the Lord Jesus. It says there in Revelation chapter 1. And it says when we see him, we're going to be like him. Perfect. In a way, beautiful, because he's beautiful. Healthy. No more diabetes, no more neuropathy. I'm going to live forever. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to awake with thy likeness. And the things of the earth are going to be passed away. They're going to be done to be remembered no more. And I'm going to look on the face of Jesus. Can you imagine the disciples had the privilege of being at the feet of Jesus, but one day we'll be there and we'll bow in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And if by God's grace we've earned any rewards, any crowns, we'll cast them at his feet and say, thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy to receive praise and glory and riches and honor. One day I'll be satisfied. We look for so many things to satisfy us today. And we live so often a dissatisfied life. Lord, if I just had a bigger house. Lord, if I had a little bit more money. If I had a nicer car. Down on the lake, seeing all those boats. Oh, if I could just have a nice boat. Our satisfaction has to come from knowing the Lord. I'm satisfied. But that question does come to mind, doesn't it? Lord, search me. Try me. Know my thoughts. Know my heart. See if there be any evil way in me. Lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, I'm satisfied. I am. I'm saved. I'm saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus, and I have received eternal life. This is eternal life, to know the Father and his Son, and I know him, and they know me. But Lord Jesus, I'm satisfied with you. But are you satisfied with me? Father God, thank you for this portion of Scripture. All Scripture is wonderful. And I pray we can be those people that can confidently pray, knowing that you see us, that you hear us, that you care for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.